We're going back over in our teaching today, again teaching, we were talking about the intercession the last time I taught, and we focused on something that Job had made a mention about. Job understood a revelation that Job had was the fact that Job noted that he needed an umpire. Job had said it in Job 9:32 and 33, he says, "For he is not a man, speaking of God, as I am, that I may answer him, and that we go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." And we looked at that. I'm not going to go back through all those things. But what we looked at is God sent a mediator, and that's what Jesus was. Jesus, God became a man. But understand, there needed to be a man side on the mediator. This is one of the great problems in the church world today. The church world just looks at Jesus as God. They don't see him as man. You have to see Jesus as man, or you'll always think, he can't put his hand on me, you know. This is why people come along and they look at stuff, they look at the Old Testament, and they say, well, yeah, God blessed them and he gave them money and made them rich. But that was for the old covenant, that was for the Jew, that ain't for the Gentile. And what they do is the reason they do that is because, see, now Jesus, you know, he didn't do none of that stuff for us. This is all just some kind of spiritual, whatever they call it. You know, I never understood this. If being spiritual didn't help me naturally, what's the point of being spiritual? You know, if being spiritual isn't going to help my health, then who's going to be, why be spiritual? You know, just believe Jesus and go off to heaven and live any old way you want here. If it's not going to help my finances, it's not going to help me to live right, you know, because you get the dummies, a good die young. I mean, anybody ever talks to stupid, what is God killing the good people? Well, then God's a problem in the earth. It ain't the devil, it's God. Well, see, this nonsense that goes on, Job understood that he needed somebody that could represent both sides. And that's what God did. You know, you're just as, in your dealings with God, you're just as much represented as God is. You got to understand that. You're as represented as God is. We act like, well, no, God's over. He's God. He can do what he wants. No, he can't. Not in the representation system he set up. He's the one that said it. Jesus Christ said he always said what the Father said. So this is what the Father, God said. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. That's what God said. Sounds like representation on this side is pretty good. But you know, most of the church world don't believe that. Even among spirit-filled people don't really believe it. They'll quote the scriptures, but when it comes down to it, yeah, but you're dealing with God. They don't see the representation. Jesus is in full representation of humanity and full representation of God. Hallelujah. I mean, we're touched good between. God doesn't have more in this business. He's the one that set it up. He set the system up. We aren't degrading God by any means by taking advantage of the system he set up. He wants you to live in this earth like you're supposed to set things, and he'll get behind you to accomplish them. That's what he wants. And because we're talking about teaching the heirs of prayer, we need to understand that. We talked about the ministry of the intercession of Jesus Christ. Jesus' intercession was on behalf of men. God didn't need help. God didn't need something. We needed something. What God did was bringing man to the level of fellowship again. It's like in the garden. You know, in the garden, God didn't turn around and tell Adam to come up and see him. God came down and visited Adam. God went to Adam's house. You know? Think about that. God did. God stepped down and went to him. Yeah, I want to go down there and talk with Adam. We'll, you know, tell the angels. You just keep them running down. I'll be out. I'm coming down, I'm talking to my man Adam. God sat back in fellowship. This is the great thing of the Holy Spirit lives in us. Full communion with God. God came down to heaven to live in man today, and people are still trying to get a hold of God. Dear Lord, God came down and walks, you and I, he don't get down the cool of day when it's hot, he's here. Hallelujah. Don't matter how it gets, God is here. That's part of the ministry of intercession of Jesus Christ in the earth. And we have to understand that we're dealing with the areas of prayer. If people don't know that, we don't have that in us and that knowledge in us, our prayer life is going to be pretty minimal. It's going to be, that's what it has been for most of the church world. Prayer life has been very minimal because we look at, yeah, big God, little me. And God evened the whole playing field out. Hallelujah. He put us all in his boat. We're not in one and he's in another. Glory to God. He has put us together. And this is the wonderful thing, the intercessor. So what we do is we carry out this intercessory ministry of Jesus. What did Jesus, look at Jesus in the earth. Look at his healing ministry. Jesus' healing ministry, it's all part of intercession. God interceded to man to bring healing into the earth. The majority, 95% of the church world is questionable about whether God wants people well. Just think about it. Most churches, I take you to this community, they even say they believe God heals. Most of 95% of them don't believe he really wants to do it all the time. That there's a good reason why he'd want you sick. They don't believe it. The intercessory ministry, they don't understand the intercessory ministry of Jesus. They cannot. I can imagine Job. Job just understood that if he could get somebody that could do his side and God's side, could work this thing out, he could get with God on this thing. He understood it. The church is still, well, yeah, he saved us. And I don't know how many times I've heard over the years ministers say, you know, God really don't need us. They think that's a humble statement. That is almost like cussing in God's face to say that. If God didn't need us, what on earth did he go through all the trouble to do what he did? What was it about? They think it's a slap in the face, salvation. Jesus went and all he did to save humanity, and they talk like, God don't need you. You're just still an old scumbag. You see, we got to break away from this kind of thinking, because that same person that believes that carries that belief into the prayer room when they start praying. They don't really believe God's going to do a thing. They'll talk about prayer, but the place of prayer isn't a place where you meet God, where you join together with God. It's the place where they're running, well, I don't know, maybe he's sleeping today and he ain't going to answer when I call. Maybe today, maybe my phone on my end ain't working right. Something's going wrong. We ain't hooked up. And that's where they enter the prayer room. Because maybe God doesn't want to. Maybe God doesn't want to do this, or God doesn't want to do that. They don't know. I talked with a person yesterday. They said, by praying what the will of God is. Well, I asked him a question. I said, do you know what God's will is in the situation he asked? They looked at me, no. I said, well, what does it do you any good to pray? Why are you bothered praying? I said, it's doing you no good. You don't know what God wants anyhow. You said, well, we just want God's will. Do you know what it is? No. I said, well, then you can't act in a direction unless till you find out you know what he wants to do. So saying, God, I want your will. It's not will of God, but it's much better to find out what it is and then want it. Find out what it is. The Holy Ghost is in us to teach us what God wants for us, what God wants to do. You know, when I was a young Christian, no more, I wasn't even born again a year, the Lord spoke to me and said, other than people getting born again and filled the Holy Ghost, number one thing that I want is my people to be healed. That's number one on the agenda. Is that preached in the church world today? See, most of the church world don't have God's agenda. They have man's agenda. What man thinks is important. See, divine healing, that's not spiritual. God sure thinks it is. The Lord said to me, but people's sickness, he said, sickness keeps steals people's money so they can't give, they can't do, they can't go where I want them to go. He said, they're sick, they can't do my will. He said, they're laid up, and they can't do what I want them to be doing. He said, the devil through sickness steals from the church and robs their money. He told me that back at that time, he said, look at America. Look what America spends on its health. All the money we dump into the health system. God ain't doing that. And then yet preachers stand up, that God gave us doctors. That's our healing. Yeah, while we get robbed from sickness and disease, all that, is it getting cheaper to go to the doctor? Did anybody ever notice? Dear Lord, we show you the bills it was from Wanda's surgery and make you choke. I mean, my words. I mean, anything they got to do, they call a treatment today, immediately it's thousands of dollars. You can't do it. You can't do that. And the church world preaches it. That's God's system. The church world's preaching that's the system. That's why people believe it and they follow after it. And they say, well, God, I don't mean, God doesn't want everybody well. Well, then what are you going to the doctor for? Why are you doing going to the doctor trying to get God's will off of you? Why do you do that? You see, the church has brought such great confusion. It's because they don't know the ministry of Jesus Christ. They don't know this ministry. What they call intercession, they don't even know what intercession's about. Jesus interceded for my health. His intercession ministry that he did on the cross was for my health. So he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses so Ed don't have to. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what the church says? Nah, he didn't do it. Nah. That was for the Jews. He wanted them well. But you, you're one of his children, and he don't care how much you suffer or what you go through. Say, man, he's a great guy. We lock up people all the time for doing what we say God does. My God, our jails are full of men and women that the church believes act just like God. That's right. I take you over to Lebanon County Prison. Those preachers ought to love those guys because they're doing everything that they say God's doing to people. You know, you let one of them kill somebody, well, God had a purpose in that. Well, then what are we locking the guy up? He did the will of God. The worst thing a church ever want to do is do the will of God. My word, you go to jail for it. It's insanity out here, folks. Folks, I'm sorry, but the church has been crazy. But if we don't stand up and say it's so, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to be nice to the preachers anymore. Preachers, it's not to be mean or ugly to them, but I can't. We got to say, hey, you're wrong. I was just dealing with, talking to a woman yesterday. She's in a condition of cancer. And they gave her 3 months to live. She's born again. Her husband's not. And she wants her husband to get born again. And I had to tell her, but I told her nicely. I said, the reason your husband don't want to have anything to do with God is because you told him God did this to you. I said, he don't want your God. I said, I don't want your God personally. I said, what do you think? This man's losing his wife. He's going through all this stuff. And you're telling him that God's doing this stuff. I said, what do you expect him to do? What do you expect out of him? And then her preacher comes and visits and talks this stuff. Take him out back, shoot him, and bury him in the backyard. Dear God. It's craziness. And then they want to bring this guy to Jesus. When I was 11 years old, I quit the church because of that crazy stuff. I don't know what it takes some adults so long to quit it for. I don't know. Some people would be much better off if they quit their church. You have this nonsense going on, reaching somebody for Jesus, saying, there ain't enough problems in this world without God causing me more. Well, the good are dying young. Oh, what if they had read that psalm that was read here this morning? What, they think that was in the Old Testament? We don't get none of that? What insanity. Why don't they just rip the Old Testament up and burn it in their churches? They don't believe a thing it says. And then they say, we believe the Bible. My God, there's only 5 pages that they believe. I don't know what they carry the big book around for. They don't believe nothing that's in it. Say, man, you're being hard, Pastor. Somebody's got to get hard about this stuff. Because people are suffering. People go to hell every day because the church helps send them there. By the nonsense that they preach. I'll tell you what, I got to the point, I hated God. I hated him. And the church put that in me. The church did it by the stuff they told me God was doing. I thought that God was my problem in the earth, and here I found out it was the church. It was the church was the problem. And the sad thing about it, they were well-meaning people. But I tell you, well-meaning people are destroying this world. Well-meaning people are destroying this world because they're not walking in truth. The only thing that can save is the truth. It's the truth that makes men free. Hallelujah. Nicely though, I talked to the woman yesterday and I explained to her and told her about scriptures. And I said, did your preacher ever preach? I told her certain things. And she said, no, we've never been told that. I said, it's Bible. It's the Bible. She said, wow. She said, then she even said, that's really good. I said, yes, it is. But when you go to a church and all you get is salvation, that's all you got. And then you're just hanging on for dear life for the rest of the ride. You know, it's like going down the road to hanging on the bumper of a car and they're dragging you and your feet are getting torn up, trying not to touch the road very much, you know. And if after a while you can't help it, you're going to drag. And that's the church today. The church has just been dragging behind the bumper of the car, trying to keep a hold of that bumper till Jesus gets me out of here or I die one of them, you know. Whatever comes first. And this is called grace. I say this, it's a disgrace. That ain't grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have a good God. I want to talk about, we talked about the fact that Jesus in intercession, hooking up to the intercessor. That we that's what you want to do. Intercessory prayer is through hooking up with the intercessor. You have to understand the intercessor, the one that's in you. God gave you the Holy Spirit so you could hook up directly to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes what belonged to Jesus and reveals it to you. So it really, in the prayer life, there's no such thing as intercession without being hooked up with the intercessor. You must be hooked up with the intercessor, Jesus Christ. Because number one, in intercession, thank God of what we do know of the Word and what we understand of the Word. That's wonderful. But the last I checked on Ed Gibson, I don't know everything about the Bible. And I don't know everything that's in the Word. And we did talk before and talked about tongues. The Lord had me teach about that because of what the Holy Spirit can work in us. And I want to look at that some again today of getting over this intercession because hooking up inside. One of the things is intercession, it is impossible. I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about this when I first came into Christianity and I was reading on in some of his study stuff on prayer. And I didn't really understand it as much as I do today because I understand the Holy Spirit a lot more now than I did then. But there really, he said this and made this remark. He said intercession cannot be going into literally without the Holy Spirit. You can't go into it. The Holy Spirit. And you folks heard me say this, and I want you to get a hold of this. This thing of people say, well, Jesus is praying for me. You need to understand, Jesus is not praying for me literally from the standpoint of heaven. Jesus inspires the church to pray out his will in the earth. The will that you want to have happen in this earth can't be prayed out from heaven. It must be prayed out from here. That's why Jesus told Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose. He didn't say what heaven decides to do, that's the way it's going. He didn't say that. And so the church says Jesus is doing the prayer. Jesus is a man in heaven, but understand this. What God does, and this is one of the great needs of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can inspire you to pray in a certain direction. Now, we're going to look at these things in Scripture. He can inspire you to do it, but he can't help you till you start to do it. He'll inspire you to pray in a certain area, and you begin to pray in that area, and he'll inspire you, but he can't help you in it till you do it. Why? It's required on our side. God has a will, and he wants us to know what his will is. You know, we want God's will done on earth like it is in heaven. That's what, you know. It's like the woman told me next door, she prays the Lord's Prayer. I said, well, you know what God's will is in the earth? No. Well, I said, well, what good does it do to pray that prayer? That prayer ain't in my, I want God's will in the earth. Well, what's God's will in the earth? Well, this is one thing as I know about. I asked her this, is anybody up in heaven sick? She said, no. I said, well, why would you think you're supposed to be sick here? You've been praying God's will in earth like it is in heaven. In heaven ain't no sickness. Why would God be asking me to pray for his will on the earth like it is in heaven, and God wants sickness here? I mean, but folks, don't think about it. That's ignorance gone to seed. I mean, that's just dumb as a stick. But, you know, I'll guarantee you, there's loads of churches that'll get together today here in this community, and they'll sing the Lord's Prayer and go home 100% out of the will of God. Thinking they did something spiritual when they didn't do anything spiritual at all. They think that maybe, you know, as Mike taught in the last time, was thinking about, you know, the wisdom of God and that stuff. God wants us to know what's going on. The Holy Spirit's given to you to help you carry out the will of God. So we can have a wonderful thing, which talks about in the Old Covenant, having some days of heaven in the earth. You know, we were singing up here this morning, and I said, praise God, I want days of heaven in the earth. That's what we want. I don't want days of hell. We got enough of those. I want some days of heaven. We got enough of days of hell, folks. And the church is asking for days of hell. I want days of heaven in the earth. And so the Holy Spirit will inspire us, and we have this great need of the Holy Spirit who will inspire us in intercession to bring the will of God in heaven, to bring it to pass down here in the earth. But he can't do it without us. We have to hook up and start to do it, and the Holy Spirit would help us carry that out. He'll help us do that. That's what he's in there for. So we want to look at some things of Scripture. Back over in Romans 8, I want to read there. We had read this before, and in Romans the 8th chapter, verse 26, where it says, in verse 26, where it says, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So understand, he's talking about the Spirit's working. What the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will make intercession according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit working in you and in me is to help us to pray out the will of God into the earth. Well, we know this. Jesus told his disciples, pray that God's will is done in the earth like it is in heaven. So in other words, we look at Scripture, what says heaven has, and say, we're supposed to have that here. Now, the church always preaches that we're not supposed to. You know? Oh, yeah, everybody can't get to heaven, so we get up there, we'll have enough stuff, we won't go hungry no more, we won't have none of this, because in heaven you have none of that, but down in earth, you're supposed to have it. God don't want Mike rich. No, Mike, you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to have more than enough. You're not supposed to have more than to lend. The only rich people are supposed to be the banker. He's the only guy that's supposed to have enough money to lend, and he lends your money. No, God said you're supposed to be the banker. He said, you're supposed to have enough to lend. Nah, church, don't believe that. Some of you are looking at me like a duck, cow in a new gate. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. See, we've lived so long in this earth, in this system, we think that's the way it's supposed to work. We think this is the American way. Yes? And boy, hasn't it cost us. It's cost us. People talk about having enough. Heaven has enough. Heaven's got health. Heaven's got joy. Heaven's got peace. We're never going to have it here, you know. That's for the sweet by and by. You got to get dead to get that, and you got to let the devil do something awful to kill you to go there. You got to suffer and moan and groan to get to that spot. Ain't that wonderful? My God. What a wonderful system. I'll tell you, this thing's great. But see, all we got is just look at the truth. The truth will make you free. And the truth is so simple, laying right out in the book. But religion keeps passing over and keeps reading other stuff. Keep believing what men have said rather than what God had said. Somebody says, well, God really didn't mean that. So the rest of their life, a person walks around and says, that's not really for us. That's not. Just because some nincompoop went to school and they told him that and you believe it? You know, there's one thing about it. I can read words and I know how to use a dictionary. And I don't mind getting a dictionary and finding out words. And I sometimes wonder how people come up with these ideas. And I read and I get big. I see my words. They don't even know the English language. They don't know what words mean. They're so full of the religious talk. They talk the religious stuff and don't even say what the words are that are written right on the page plainly. I mean, think about it. We got the New Testament. The New Testament, really, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are Old Testament. They were before Jesus' resurrection. That's where they're before. They're the Old Testament. The New Testament is made up of the book of Acts, was written by Luke, and the rest of it's all letters written to the church. Letters written to the church. Do you think they were written so the people couldn't understand? Paul's saying, I'm going to write them a letter that they can't understand. I'm going to write them a letter that they can't figure it out. I mean, like John here said, I'm going to write the pastor a letter. But I'm going to confuse this thing because I don't really want, it's going to be a mystery. It's going to be a mystery we can't figure out. It's a mystery. We ain't going to get this thing figured out, no way. And you're going to sit down and read the letter. That's one of the things that the Lord did to me back years ago, numbers of years ago, over 20 years ago. He said to me one day, he said, I want you to start to read, he said, the letters to the church. And he said, I want you to read them without looking at any headings or any have anything to do with the numbers that they put there for verses. That's good. That's fine for looking up certain things that help. But he said, I want you to read them like I wrote you a letter. I had a letter written to you and read it like a letter. I was amazed how much revelation that I got. Because what we did, and there's nothing wrong. Teaching, sometimes we break things down in sections. But what happens is there's not a flow or continuity of what's being talked about or revealed. And when I found that many things, when you read what they called a chapter had to do with this and this chapter was broken, I found out loads of places the revelation that Paul was given, you'd read 3 or 4 chapters really had to do with one subject. It had to do with one subject. But see, by us reading, there's nothing wrong that they did the things. Thank God that they sat down and figured out how to do that. Put verses in, to give us those things. So for study, we could go look things up. But it wasn't broken up like that. They didn't get that. He didn't send them a letter and it had written in chapters and verses and headings to tell people what he's saying. They didn't do that. And so we need to understand when we get to the scriptures and we read the scriptures, we got to think past that. As reading the scriptures, and that's one thing as I learned from Kenneth Hagin is, you know, when you sit down and read the Bible, you know, make sure you're reading, when you read a subject, make sure, you know, he said it's always good to read a little before and after to make sure you're reading in context of what's said. Because Brother Hagin told us, many things are being preached out there, and these were back in the good, what they called the good days. He said there was much being preached that was wrong because he said it's out of context of what God was saying. Men put it into their ideas and things. So we need to be careful in those things and hold that. But here we're reading concerning the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we're going to do is in the areas, and in talking about weakness, the weakness that we have, it isn't that we don't know to pray. But what our weakness is that you and I have is we don't know everything. That is a weakness. Do you know that? You know, the Bible tells you, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge can bring your destruction, not understanding. You could have something could be a good thing. It's like you take a person that doesn't understand about electricity, could end up getting electrocuted because of not knowing. But yet, electric's a good thing, last time I checked. You know, I like it. I like it in my house, and I like that there current that runs through my car. It starts that thing, and I drive around and do so. I like all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, that electric can do you in if you don't know how to handle it properly. So even though good things, if people don't understand them or they don't have a revelation of certain things, so that's why that having the knowledge of certain things or understanding things is hugely helpful. And so when we go to pray, it's one of the things is having, this is why it's dealing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here, it says He helps us in this weakness that we have. Isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to enter into prayer with any kind of weakness based upon you just not knowing everything? Isn't that good? Just think if we could only hook up with God on the basis, only on the basis of our spiritual intellect, only that we know. Dear Lord, I'd hate to. Thank God. God has made something greater in the earth. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us go beyond our own intellects and our own things. We can go beyond that. We can walk in places, folks, of the divine. We can pray in the divine. We can pray out absolutely heavenly perfection. We can do that by the Holy Spirit in us. Thank God for that. Thank God we have that. That's what's given. That's why when the church throws out the supernatural, in which they've done, you know, tongues isn't for today and nothing's for today. All it is get saved and hang on for the ride. This is all you're trying to do. They threw it all out. They threw the divine out because they don't think we're worthy of it. God has a whole different opinion of it. He thinks we're worthy of the divine. And He wants you to pray out the divine in the earth, the divine right out here to bring God's perfect divine will to pass here. For and it's not for God. Sure, God gets better, people get saved and things, but it's for you too, so you can enjoy a little bit of heaven here, so God can move here to accomplish what He wants to do. And I've learned this over the years. When I'm able to hook up with God's perfect will, it always works out best for Ed. It always does. There's a great benefit. When I work out God's perfect will, there's always a benefit to that perfect will. And so you want to get over there in that. And when we're dealing with the areas of intercession, we're hooking up the Holy Spirit. He can help us go beyond. Why? He knows it all. So we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We know to pray, but we may not know about it all. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Dr. McCrossan had written in his book on the body of the healing and the atonement. He says, really what that word means there is he talks about, you know, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, or he says, concerning making intercession. He said it means to take a hold together. The Spirit takes a hold together with us. It takes a hold together. It would be just like if I had an object or something, or say I wanted to move this podium here, and so I would say, you know, ask Conrad to come and help me. What I would be asking him to do is to come and take a hold together against the weight of this thing to move it. You want to do that. And that's what he's talking about. We're taking a hold together. In other words, there's things in prayer you're going to have the divine help you move it or help you change it. You're going to need that. And God has said that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, is to help you to take a hold together with. Now, if you can get God to take a hold of something together with you, do you think it'll probably work out pretty good? This is most people are trying to, well, God will come and help me a little bit, but I'll have to carry at least probably 85 to 90% of it, and God will take a hold together 10%. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to ask for much, because I can't take a hold of very much. So I know God, he'll only take a hold of a little bit. You know, so I'm just going to have to put up with what I can get. That's the prayer life of the church. It's always going, what's the minimal on this that I can get by with? Instead of, what is the desire of my heart I'm supposed to believe I receive? I have a desire in my heart for something big, but I'm just going to have to settle for something less, because God may not want to do what really is the desire of my heart. Most people never, you know, they're always, this is one thing that I watch the devil do all the time. A person has a desire for something large or something bigger beyond what they normally work into, and they have a desire for that. And at first they'll start to move in that direction. And then while that's going on, the devil will come and offer them something lesser, and they will stop in their desire and go take that something lesser. God will even send somebody to come and give you something lesser than what you were praying for. I had one time the Lord, so let me just use this. I was praying one time, just sort of minding my own business about things. And anyhow, we had a TV that we first got saved. We got saved, man. We definitely weren't in the area of walking in divine wealth. That was for sure. We were learning at this thing on giving. I remember we thought it was a big thing when we needed $20 and it showed up. And it was like, wow. You know, and it showed up very supernaturally. And so we got, and we thought it was big. But I never, we had a TV. It was a black and white TV, and it went out. So I decided this. I thought you know, because we really didn't have the money to go buy the buy another television. So, you know, I said, well, I'm going to believe God. We're going to believe God for TV. We're going to do this. Believe God. Well, I got over there trying to think. I was trying to, you know, the idea of what I thought maybe I could believe for. You know, it wasn't something big. I wasn't thinking any idea big, but God had something big. And anyhow, so I'm praying though, and I'm in the bedroom and I'm praying, and I got my Bible there and I'm reading some things and I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord about some, you know, spiritual stuff. And every time I get over praying, I keep seeing this television. And I thought, oh man, am I carnal? What is going on? I'm seeing a television when I pray. I thought, oh, this can't be God. This must be the world, you know. And get over it. So I'd get back over and close my eyes tight. Maybe I'd go pray a little bit more and I'd get seeing this TV. Well, finally, you know, after about a half an hour of this, you know, there was a twinkle of light must have went on in my little head somewhere. Anyhow, well, my big head or something. But anyhow, I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this TV thinking about on there? He said, I want to give you a television. Oh, I said, that's nice. He said to me about television. He said, I want to give you one. Oh, I said, that's good. You want to give me one. He said, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever one you want. Well, I said, wow, that's nice. And I said, well, you know what? I just didn't jump on board. I thought, well, I'm going to find out TVs. What's going to find out? I got what he goes. Whatever you tell me, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Whatever you want. Now, actually, see, this was a revelation to me because I didn't have that before. After that, now I know today I could have whatever I wanted. I'd have no going in. At that time, I didn't know that. And he said, I'll give you whatever you want. So I went down and talked to Wanda. So we believed at that time the Sony Trinitrons were out, you know, and they had. So we decided we were going to get a Sony Trinitron. So I just went to the Lord and said, okay, you said we want. This is what we want. The Sony Trinitron, I told him what size it was. And that was it. So. And God was amazing because he taught me a lot through this of me not understanding things, how he works. So anyhow, we're believing that TV, and didn't another television, this console television, shows up. Wanda's aunt comes. They had a television. It's the weirdest thing in the world. They have a television, and they took their TV, and they took it to a place, and a guy walked over, and they decided they weren't going to buy a new TV. They were going to get this one just redone, and the guy went through it. And those, you know, back in those days, they still had tubes and televisions and stuff, and they have all this stuff replaced. They spent enough money that they could have bought a new TV for what they fixed this one for. So they got it fixed and decided, we'll get a new TV. Well, anyhow, they ask us if we want this television. This television's completely good. I mean, it's fine. And I tell you what, I don't know why inside of me, I just stopped and said, hold it. That ain't what I asked for, Lord. That's not the TV. And before we'd say yes to them, I went to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, you said, and I said, we talked this over in this television thing. We talked over this thing about this television. I told you what I wanted. I said, I'm going to take something I didn't want. He said, no, that has nothing to do with one. I'll give you that other one. You can take that one too. See, sometimes people don't. They'll just take it because I wasn't going to trade off. I was not. Most people will just trade off right there. Well, this is good enough. People do it, cars and all that. Well, this is good enough. No, it ain't what I wanted. See, the Lord wants me. See, I didn't realize at the time what the Lord is putting that stuff in me. Because trying to teach me about, you stay on that thing over here than wanted. So we took that TV, and that TV was working fine. This other TV went for a long time, didn't show up. Went for a long time. And finally, I went to the Lord one day. I said, Lord, what's this thing, TV? You told me this thing about this television. I want to know about this. I said, because this thing's been sitting out there a long time. I said, thank God that we thank you for that one you sent me. But I said, ain't the one I asked for. I said, one you sent me. I said, ain't the one I sent for. And he said this to me. He said, well, this is taking a while. Because he said, I have an individual. I wanted him to do this, and they won't move on it. So you need to understand this. This is why many people have trouble in the areas of being blessed, because they're always slow to respond to God in their part of giving and being. So they're very slow in it. And you'll find if you do that, you're going to be very slow on the areas of you being blessed. You're always going to reap what you sow. And if you're slow to respond, he said he's trying. So what it is, anyhow, so I taught the Lord about it. So he got a hold of another guy. It was a guy that I worked with. God's working in this thing. Say, Lord, I don't know what this is about intercession, but you have me talking about this stuff. But anyhow, it'll be good. Somebody needs it. Anyhow, a guy came to me then later on. This was another guy. There wasn't the first guy that... God is working in this thing. God was trying to bless other people, trying to get other people into this thing because he wants to change things for them. So this guy came to me and said to me, you know, one day at work, come walking right up to me and said, do you know, hey, do you want a new television? And I said, yeah, me and the Lord, he's a Christian guy. He knew where I was coming from. I said, yeah. I said, I believe, you know, God's sending me one. I said, he's got one on the way for me. He said, well, the Lord told me to get you a TV. This guy knew what kind of TV it was and everything. Well, I didn't talk to him. See, one of the worst things you go is go tell everybody what you need. You never be sure you're getting a miracle or not. See, I was getting a miracle. This is a miracle. Because I even told the guy. And the guy said, you know, I went to this guy. He said he owns a business and he's having a hard time. And he said, the Lord told me to go here and ask him for this TV for a certain price. Because God wants to bless him if he'll do it. God, the Lord said he'll bless him. He said he won't do it. I found out later the guy went out of business. See, God's working. See, God is working through things. There's many people that go under, even Christians, that they believe in, you know, divine wealth. But they won't move over in the areas where God wants them to in the areas of giving. God has a plan. God had a plan for that man to bless his business, and he went by it. He wouldn't do it. He thought holding on to everything because things are tight, so if I hold on to everything. See, people did that back. A lot of Christians lost out back when 9/11 took place because they quit giving. There's a bunch of ministries had a tough time. People weren't even affected financially, but they got scared. If the things going in here scare you, the first thing it'll scare you is you'll tighten your wallet. Man, that's one thing as I learned. When things get hard, I open my wallet wider. Because now's the time to make money. And the areas of giving, now's the time. Because most people are going to clam up. And I ain't going to be one of them. Now's the time to be generous. Now's the time to be generous. To help ministries. To do stuff. Help people. And so, but anyhow, he couldn't with this guy. So, I mean, the Lord's just funny as me. So the guy came back to me and said, he told me this about this guy. And then he comes back to me and I said, meanwhile, there's two different conversations going on. The Lord said to him, ask Ed if he wants to have a Curtis Mathis television. I don't know if any of you remember the Curtis Mathis. They were handmade televisions. They were very expensive. Handmade. And I thought, oh my words, these are handmade television. And this guy comes back to me and said, the Lord asked me to ask you if you want a Curtis Mathis television. And I stopped and I thought, I said, I got to think about this. Because this thing started really going out there. Because, see, I mean, at that time, you'd put $1,000 out for a TV. That was big money then. That was big money back then. I mean, most people were, you know, $250 would have been a big most people on television. This thing, $1,000. It's very interesting how things went along. So I just got over and I said to the guy, I said, you know, I need to talk to the Lord about this thing. I said, you know, there's some. So I just got over and talked to the Lord about the thing. And I said, it'd be fine to have that other television and that stuff. And I said, Lord, I see what you're doing and carrying this out. But I said, you know, $1,000 television. I said, I don't make, at that time, I said, Lord, I don't watch enough TV to make $1,000 TV worth it. I said, we didn't have many channels back in those days, and I didn't watch half of them. Like today, hardly watch any of all these channels. But I said, Lord, let me ask you something. Lord, do you have something in your heart? Is there somebody that you'd like to give that TV to? Or I said, the money for that television. I said, is there somebody? I said, you know, you gave me this other one. I'm happy. I know I can get this other one. I said, I know I can get it. But I said, is there anything? And I'm never, because this is clear. I'm at recess. This is at work going on. Work's going on. I'm working. And the Lord spoke to me clearly. He said, well, do you have anybody in your heart you'd like to give the money to? Well, I said, yeah, but I said, Lord, I ain't telling this guy I want money. I said, I ain't going to do that to the guy. I said, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. But I said, because to me at that time, you know, Bond and I'd send some money to Kenneth Hagin. It was, you know, we were monthly givers. But I'm on, the ministry didn't run because we were a big part of it. But that, hey, we were walking where we were given. I mean, Wanda and I, we're putting money out, a lot more money out. A lot of people had a lot more than we did, but they got on this sewing thing, and I said, Ed needs help, so we need to be givers. And it wasn't half an hour later, this guy come walking on me and said, the Lord said if you want to have the money, you can have the money. See, God's in this thing. God's working. See, it's one thing I've learned, and God has taught me about finances, my personal finances. I don't talk about it to other people. The biggest problem that most people have is they talk about it to everybody else but God. If God can't move a person supernaturally, he ain't who he said he was. If I have to go tell him, he ain't who he said he was. And I'll tell you, I've had more things happen like this to me where God would tell me, you know, things, and I wouldn't go tell anybody. I wouldn't go tell nobody about it. Well, God got a hold of this guy. This guy comes back and said, Lord said to me, if you want the money, if you want to, I'll give you $1,000. I'll just give you the $1,000. You know. I said, okay, let's do that. And that was the thing where I sent that $1,000, I sent to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Now, Wanda and I could have used that $1,000. Let me tell you, we could have used that $1,000. But it was inside of me. It was the first opportunity I had to give something big. I could give them. That was big at that time for me. That was big stuff. Our car probably wasn't worth $1,000. we gave that $1,000 away. So years went past, you know, and it totally escaped my mind about doing that. Now, I want you to understand, you know, this doesn't go off from, this is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, because what I realized after years and realized what was going on, God was working in the background to bless my life. And the Holy Spirit was in there orchestrating something to lead me. I was in weakness, folks. I could have never brought this to pass in the condition I was spiritually. I was a young Christian. I couldn't have brought this to pass. I didn't know how to bring this to pass. I didn't know how to do it. And God orchestrated this whole thing, and I'll never forget. We're at Rhema, and I was in my second year at Rhema. I had just gotten to take off the entire summer while our kids were out of school. I didn't have to work. We had so much money coming in. I didn't have to go to work. The Lord told me to take off, because before that, I was working 45 hours a week going full-time to school. And the Lord said to me, I want you to take a summer off and spend time with your family. Now, you spend time with your family. I mean, I ain't never had a summer off. It'd been so many years since we were back in school when I was a kid. My parents didn't let us off all summer. We had to do stuff. who used to work in farms and do things. I had a summer off with my kids. I said, man, and I said to the Lord, I mean, school started, and I said, God. I said, I look around, and I mean, I said, there are students out here. I said, always in need. They never got enough, and they're always having problems and trying to pay their, you know, their school bills and all this kind of stuff and trying to make it pay their rent. Everybody's having, and loads of people have problems, and Wanda and I were helping people out. Wanda and I were doing things for people. I said, we're living out here like, you know, like we're rich folk. We're living here. I said, God. And I just said, Lord, how come? I said, I understand the things of faith and bringing stuff, but I said, man, this is like over the top. How come this is going on here? And I had forgotten about it. He said, do you remember that $1,000 and that TV? I had forgotten all about that. He said, when you did that time, he said, you know, you could have taken that TV. He said, that TV was every bit of yours and you could have had it. But he said, you gave up something that was precious at that time and you gave that $1,000. And he said, that's why this is going on for you today. He said, I'm doing this for you because you did that back then. See, over the years, I've had things where I've done and never really looked over, and the Lord would remind me years later why something was happening for me. And he'd say, you remember? You did that back then. You did that. And I think, my God, that thing was working back here. All the, God knew where I was going to be years ago down the road. Just like when Mike, when he did the thing about praying, going past that property, praying in tongues. And God been working a thing out for years. That's God who is hooked up with you in your weakness, your inability. I didn't know things were coming. And those things were coming, and they were coming because of years before. Lord said, you've been blessed out here because he said, you did that. That $1,000, he said, that was a big thing you did. There's people today give $1 million away have not done as big a thing as I did because they have many millions to throw out there. But Wanda and I, man, I tell you what, that was like giving millions away to us back then. And God blessed us. I mean, we lived so good. Things were so good. I know when people talk about suffering going through school, I didn't suffer a lick. Oh, and what they gave up. But you know what? See, we learned that principle before we got there. This is what many people are. You know, Mike talking about, you know, he teaching on the things of the Word and about those principles. You know what? You don't start practicing them in your need. You learn how to walk in those things when you come to your time of need. You don't struggle to get your need met because you're walking in the things already. You're walking in it. That's what you want to do. You want to get it. You're walking in it ahead of time. My giving is done years in advance. My giving is always toward my future, not my need now. When Wanda and I started off, it was all about need now. We're just trying. But when we found out the principle of how you give, you keep that thing steady going and steady going. One of the biggest things that helped Wanda and I in the 9/11 time of keeping money, and especially in our later years here with money coming to us, money's been coming to us because of what we did back in those times. When most Christians quit and slowed down in their giving, we didn't. We didn't move in what we were doing. I didn't care what the economy said. I didn't care what was going on. I stayed on my principles of what I was doing in the hard times, and the payoff came down the road. And now there's many Christians going through the hard times. And you know what? They ain't going to just jump out of it because they hadn't sown for the time that they're in. They haven't sown. The farmer don't go out there and sow when he needs the corn off the field tomorrow. So he ain't running out there and doing that. And you're not going to do that. You're going to have to practice the principle of the sowing and reaping and how it works. That principle works, but in the kingdom, it don't always work, you know, in the next 3 months. You got to learn to get out there and under words that you're giving for your future. You know, this is about the, you know what, just think about Jesus' intercessory ministry. It was for the future of humanity. It's working out into the future, isn't it? He did all that 2,000 years ago, still working strong today. What he sows is still producing in the same manner. Everything will still produce. And see, what we do is do all that we do for the future. This is what the Holy Ghost, in helping us pray things out and hooking things up, teaching us these things, operate just like over in this area. And I'm praying away and the Lord starts to show me something. And it ends up a thing because in giving, God had a plan to bless me years down the road, a biggie. And I'm going to tell you what, I put 1,000 out. I got many, many, many thousands out of that one, man. I'm going to tell you, I got big time back off of that 1,000. Big time off of that 1,000. I got school paid for 2 years. Covered housing and everything else. I'm going to tell you what, I got it, Bond and I got it big time of doing what God had us doing there. Praise God. And all during that time, we were generous in our giving, and we were helping people and blessing people and doing stuff and doing those things. But it was God's work in us. God did it. See, this is one of the things I want you to get a hold of. We get over the Holy Spirit. We're operating in an area of weakness, the inability to produce results. We're limited. I was limited, but the Holy Spirit took care of my limitations. So, you know, really, he was picking up 95% of the weight and I was doing 5%. But when I started doing my 5%, he jumped in and carried it out for me. He showed me, he kept taking me step by step to lead me to that place of prosperity. Now, you know what? The Lord wasn't going to go against me that if I would have gave that money. He's the one that told me to do it. He talked to me about that. He said, I told you 1,000. He said, I'd still bless you. You could have kept that 1,000. That was yours. He said, this is what you just decided to do with it. And he said, you just opened the door big time for me to bless you. Learn this about the areas of giving. Some money comes to you. Some of it ain't for you. It's for somebody else. You need to learn that, where it's supposed to go. Because if God shifted money through you, I want to just say this to you, and I'm telling you it's true every time. I have never had God send money through me that was for somebody that I didn't get a huge blessing out of it. Understand that. Sometimes God, why? Just like he was doing with that TV, he's trying to bless a number of people. He's not trying to bless one or two. He's trying to bless a number of people. See, God was good. I remember Ted Copeland talking about that, how God gave him an over-the-road bus. He said, I don't know over-the-road bus. I ain't driving around no bus. One of those big jobs. It was from Mylon Lefevre's. Mylon Lefevre had one of those big, you know, over-the-road buses that, you know, and all how, you know, how those things look. You know, there's they people buying campers today. He had this big, his man traveled it. He gave it to Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland told him, he said, what are you giving this thing? Well, I don't want no over-the-road bus. He said, I'm going somewhere, I'm flying. He's going to be in the bus. Lord said, I didn't give that for you. He said, I gave that to you so you could give it to somebody else. See, he's trying to pass the blessing. Because, see, Mylon Lefevre will get blessed for giving it to Ken. Ken gets it and gives it away to another guy. So there you got two people get blessed out of this thing, send it down the line so God can bring more blessing to them. God taught me a great thing in blessing. Shifting that thing on down through, people just get blessed on down the line. That thing with that guy turned around and told me the thing the TV had got taught was willing to do it. Wanda and I ended up with a lot of money off that thing years and years later because from that same person. God passed thing down where that person ended up with a bunch of money and they left this earth and it got passed to us. This passing around, this doing. See, God's out here working. Why? He's in the business of blessing people. I always find it interesting. He's willing to shift money through a number of hands so he can get everybody blessed, not just get one or two people out of it. He's shifting around. See, I want to be in that flow, don't you? Don't you want to be in that place, that flow? See, I don't want to be a dam with money. See, many people are dams. It comes to them and that's where it stops. No, you want to be in the river of money. If you're in the river of money, money will always come to you. It'll always come to you if you're in the river. If you build a dam, you'll stop it. Don't ever get afraid you're not going to have enough. You lose that fear completely. See, I watched that. I can never forget back in 9/11. You know, Randy Greer talked about that 9/11. Something like 60% of the income of his ministry stopped in one day. 9/11 Christians. All these spirit-filled, really holy. Oh, yes, you. I'll guarantee you 99% of them had no financial change in their life. But fear, things are going bad, we're going to keep the money. They're going to keep the money. Worst thing they do. Wanda and I never changed a thing. I didn't care how it looked. The people at that time in the church here, there's people, they gave less. They gave less. People were giving less. Had the same jobs, but they're giving less. And people start doing that. And I watched it back in. I thought, it don't go well for people. People end up in a problem. There'll be a problem down the road. They'll want something and they're going to have money for it. You don't, folks, you have to learn those things. We have to learn those things. You know, the intercessory ministry of Jesus, the times were tough, he gave it all. You got to get around in your thinking of that. Hallelujah. It's because he saw end result. Be a people who see end result. Intercessors are people who have in their heart a result and they don't move off of it till that result comes. See, they get over in the areas of prayer and they have something in their heart and they hook up and the Holy Spirit hooks up with them till they get that result brought into the earth, till that thing gets in here on the earth, till that thing gets done. I often think about a woman who prayed. Kenneth Hagin talked about, this goes back years and years ago. This is back the Pentecostal movement in the Southwest in Texas. They said there was like, I forget how many, like there's loads of those small towns around in Southwest Texas. They didn't have any kind of churches or anything in them. They're just little places. This woman would pray. She had a map in her house of the Southwest Texas area, and she had these little towns way out there in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you ever drove down into those areas. That's like driving on the moon. You get down there even today, you'll drive places, my God, you drive for a long time. You know, Texas is a long drive to get through. You definitely think you're in another country. And you drive down through there, and ain't nothing out there. You know, you go back and you see a ranch. They got a ranch. And you see the gate to the ranch, and it's flat. And you can see for I don't know how many miles. You still can't see no buildings. I still don't see no ranch. They're out there in the middle of nowhere. He said, this woman would get to pray. She would take a town. And she would take a tack and put it in marker in that town. And she would begin to pray. And she would pray every day. She'd take hours of prayer every day, praying for God to start a Pentecostal church in that town. She didn't pray for just a church. Quit praying for just, I'm praying for a good church. You ought to know what kind of church you need, dear Lord. Christians are so stupid. You pray for anything, the devil will end up send you to some church that will keep you so stupid. You know, that's what a lot of people do. They just end up ignoramuses. You know, she began to pray. Kenneth Hagin said at the time, and he met, she had started 17 churches had gotten started her over the years in town. She prayed till that church started. God sent a minister to start a church in that town. Kenneth Hagin says, "Come, one of the most interesting things when you get to heaven, well, those ministers think came they started those churches. They think they started them." He said, "They get to heaven, she's going to get the reward for all them starting all them churches because she started. She prayed and stuck with it with God." Because God wanted those communities to have a Holy Ghost church influence in their town. And at that time, he said there was like 17 or something like that, that she had prayed till they had started a church in that area. Isn't that amazing? That woman did that from her house. She did that. She'd pray. Till they'd get a Holy Ghost church. Hallelujah. See, that's an intercession. She wouldn't quit till it stopped. He said she'd just keep praying. That church started. Then she'd get another church. She'd another church in another town. She'd pick one out. Here, Lord. And get one in this one. And then she'd start. And the Holy Ghost would take a hold of it together with her. And they would begin. So she's working. She ain't out there doing that stuff alone. I'm sure. Can you imagine all the people and things that had to be influenced? She wouldn't even have known who had to be influenced to do what. She couldn't even know that. But the Holy Ghost working together with her is influencing people, putting it on people's hearts, putting it on maybe even a denomination's heart. Hey, we ought to go over here and start a church. They think they got the idea. There's loads of things that I've come to understand. I didn't originate the idea. It came up out of me. So many people think they originate things. I thought of this and I thought of that. No, you didn't. The Holy Ghost brought it to you. You wouldn't have thought a thing about it had he not done it. You know, I wouldn't have never got over with that thing of that television had been for the Holy Ghost working in it. I'd have never got over. I mean, that was a big divine thing that taught me about how finances work and how to do stuff. But that revelation came to me, and that whole thing from the beginning to the end was all the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost took a TV that went down and taught me how to prosper out of that thing and make that thing, make stuff work. He went and did that, and he surely did it for my weakness because I wasn't that brilliant in it. And see, this is one of the things that we need, the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you. I didn't get very far into what my notes were there, but the Holy Ghost, I hope it helps you somewhat to understand these things. I think God wanted to bring these things out today, is the need, the greatest need that you and I have in the church is listening to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit get involved in what we're doing. He's a genius. He knows everything far beyond. And that's why it is like, you know, this is why the devil hates people praying in tongues. He hates it. He hates it when you pray in tongues. He hates it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is getting through you to express the divine will of God to bring it to pass in this earth. If anything, he doesn't want the divine will of God done in this earth. He don't want the perfect will of God. He don't mind if you pray a little bit and get a little bit of something God had, and you know, it ain't going to amount much. But to get God's perfect will in, he don't like that. And you and I have that ability, the Holy Spirit. Because I always understand, it's not that there's something wrong with us. There's nothing. We're learning. We're learning. We're developing spiritually, so we don't know everything. There's things that I would know specifically how I ought to pray or what I ought to do about it. I wouldn't have known years ago. But there's a lot of things that I don't know about today but the Holy Spirit can hook up in me and through me. And if I allow him to hook up with me against that, whatever it is going on to bring God's will into the earth, he'll hook up. You know, it's like I learned. I'm doing 5% and he's doing 95%. If I'm in that percent, but I can let him, if all I got to do is let him work it out through me in this earth. You know, it's like I told you guys, when I was praying and the Lord said to me, and I had this vision, and I'm praying in other tongues, and I'm praying with no sense of like, man, I'm doing anything important. You know, I'm just praying in tongues and just over there, you know, I just said the Holy Ghost, I said, I'm going to let you use my mouth for a while and you can pray some things out, and I'm just going to do it. I was there doing it, praying, and I'm just going to town praying in other tongues and, you know, going to town, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I never ask for visions or anything like that. Every once in a while, I get one, but I don't ever ask for them. I don't ask for visions. God never told me I'm supposed to, or it doesn't say in the Bible I'm supposed to. But I have them every once in a while. But all of a sudden I had this vision. And in this vision, I see these angels. And they're sort of like encamped in this place. And I'm praying away. And all of a sudden, some angels will just, a bunch of angels just go, take off. Go. And I'm thinking, oh, well, what's that all about? You know, and I don't know. And I'm just, so I'm just praying in tongues. And I'm there praying in tongues. And I'm still seeing this vision. And all of a sudden, some more angels just go, take off out through. So finally, just out of my limited intelligence, I decided to ask, I said, Lord, what's this thing as these angels going? He said, you're praying here in tongues. He said, you're like a general. He said, commanding troops. He said, at your prayers, at your praying. Now, I didn't know I was praying anything like that. He said, these angels go out, he said, and they're going out and do things. I said, dear Lord, here I am praying, thinking I ain't hardly, you know, I'm not thinking from the standpoint I'm doing anything great. My God. What we might have done praying in tongues, and we think, well, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel much. Maybe not much happened, you know. I said, dear Lord, say there's a lot happening going on. So, but to understand this, those angels would have not gone had I not taken my part and let the Holy Ghost pray things through me to do that. Why? If I want to change something, or we're singing that song today, you got to touch heaven to change earth. How do we do it? Let heaven pray it out through us. Right here will change the earth. It'll change it right here. See, it's a powerful thing. The devil wants you to think that praying in tongues, interceding about things you don't know about, or that's just sort of, that's weird, that's mystical. No, it ain't. It's divine. And it is supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. I mean, just think about that dear woman praying, what she was doing and bringing to pass all those churches being started. Think about that. Absolutely phenomenal. All those churches are getting started because of her hooking up with the Holy Ghost. Do you think how many people, and the blessing it was to those areas, that those churches came into those areas, all because of some dear woman, she would hook up with the Holy Ghost and pray out the divine will of God. I'm sure she never thought in her mind, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start praying for these places, start a church. I'll guarantee you that comes in. The Holy Spirit started working in her. And she got this brilliant idea. I'm going to start praying that God will start churches in that community, in this community. It came up in her. God gave her the vision. Hallelujah. I know over the years I've watched it with myself time and time again. Things rise up in me. It's not my great genius. Hallelujah. Shall I tell you what, using your mental influence? I was listening yesterday to a guy on the radio. I was out running around doing some things, and a guy, he handles, he's an investment, does investment stuff. And this is what he said about people, be educated people. He said, the majority of people, he said, we have found this out over the years, people we work with and with other people. He said, the more educated a person becomes, the worse decisions they make about money. Isn't that interesting? He said, why? He said they were just relying always on their intellect. And he said, what happens? They're not listening. I thought, that's exactly it. See, what happens? You get over and you're just operating all your mentality all the time. I watch people do that in Christianity. They operate in their mentality instead of operating by the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit bring His thoughts and ideas for us to act on and doing them. You know, it's getting over. Thank God, God gives us intelligence. But I'll tell you what I've learned a long time ago. If you start trying to walk in intelligence, even if I would try today to walk in what I know spiritually, and I'd start to limit the Holy Spirit, you give it a couple years, you'd think I probably never walked with God. I'll get into so much dumb. You want to get over here, and I thought that was really interesting. He said the more educated, he said, we found out that people that don't know as much, he said, they'll usually listen better about something, of things to do. He said, they're not trying to come up with some kind of grand scheme, a get-rich-quick scheme or something. They're not trying to do that. But he said, when people get more education, he said they may be very intelligent in the field that they work in or something. But he said, boy, when it comes to money, they're not. He said, they'll always pick wrong investments and wrong stuff. They're always trying to do something. He said, well, really, they don't know. And I thought, that's interesting. I thought, my God, that fits right over with the Holy Ghost. We go over. See, we don't want to get over. See, Apostle, you know, the Apostle Paul was a highly educated, intelligent man, but learned he was a fool when it come to truth. That the only place divine truth come from is God. You don't become just highly educated. See, we need to be careful because we can get over riding on education. There's nothing wrong with education, but you've heard me say this over the years. Education without God is going to end up in nothing but trouble. It's going to be a problem, and we got to do that. And I just encourage you today, we'll talk more about this intercession and prayer and yielding to the Holy Ghost, but it's getting over the stuff. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Listen on the inside of you. We all have weaknesses. This isn't, you know, some group of people or just some person needs it more than another. Everybody needs this. I don't know. I see sort of thing with myself. I need it more now than I did even before because it seems I get over into these areas and I realize how much I don't know. Years past, I'd learned something. I think, oh my words, now I'm pretty smart. And now I get over and I learn something. I think, oh boy, probably a lot I don't know about the other side of this. And you learn, listen to the Holy Ghost, listen inside of you. And I just encourage you to do that because if we're going to fulfill the ministry, just come on. God anointed in the earth, God anointed Jesus with Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Understand, when Jesus operated as a man, he was totally reliant on the Holy Ghost. You are not going to do it any other way. If he had to be anointed to carry out by the Holy Spirit to carry out his ministry, that would be then you do too. The things that God's called you to do, you're going to need the Holy Ghost to do it. And so understand that. Yield the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit yields you over the area to pray. I tell you, let him pray things out through you. Let him do that. He'll do wonderful and glorious things that'll be just such a blessing to the church. Hallelujah. It'll be a blessing to you, church. I've never found out. Praying around, one of the best things I've ever learned, praying, I spend very little time praying for me. I've spent very little time praying for me. And if I'm praying, it's about something else or somebody else or something that you put it in. See, that's all a part of giving. See, being a giver. See, a lot of people, that's all their prayer lives are focused toward them and the things around them all the time. That's why things don't work out. See, being a giver. You know, Jesus' ministry in the earth was outward, wasn't it? It wasn't inward. It wasn't. He wasn't all out here, you know, thinking about him. He was thinking about others. You know, a lot of people don't need an anointing. You don't need anointing to take care of you all the time. You don't need anointing. You need anointings. God anointed Jesus in the mountain with the Holy Ghost of power. What about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil? So in other words, the anointing was about out there to minister, to do something. And I learned, you take the things and let the Holy Ghost pray through you to help somebody else. That's sowing. I've learned that's a big help over in the divine health. You praying for other people and their health, don't be surprised yours gets better. See, most people, all they get so focused on their sick and their problem. And that's what they, and that's all they pray about and talk about to God. Their problem, their sickness, their this, their that. No, I've always looked at somebody else and thought, my God, my ache or pain ain't here what they got. There's always somebody out there, Lord, deliver them. It'll inspire your faith. It inspires your faith to believe. When you start looking at somebody else, see, in a way, Jesus came and he looked at us and said, man, these people need help. These people need lots of help. And I'm willing to give my life to give them as much help as they can have. I'm willing to do that. And he came down here completely focused. Well, it turned out pretty good for him, didn't he? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he got blessed out of it. But he didn't get blessed out of it focusing on himself. So learn to use your prayer life. Make your prayer life a blessing to somebody else. Sow in those areas of prayer. You know, doing those things, sowing, you know, just, you know, I was, you know, like I talked about before, the hurricane, and I was praying for people going through this thing of this hurricane, man. I tell you what, not just people here and people in other places, man, they got trouble going on. You just, you know, I was going on vacation. You could sit there and focus all the time praying because you want a nice vacation. Thank God. I tell you, I learned a long time. Pray for somebody else's stuff and you might end up, you'll get blessed yourself. I don't mean we don't ever say anything or pray anything about ourselves, but get focused on other people. It's amazing how God will bless you. You know, we went on vacation, had absolutely gorgeous weather, beautiful. I mean, by words, every day was, man, just wonderful. And but you know, the focus, my focus going there wasn't on us. My words, I'm going to have a good time. It's going to go great for me. But there's a lot of people, they ain't going to go great for in life unless somebody stands in. I know I got saved because somebody had to stand in for it. I was doing everything I could to make a mess up life for me. But somebody stood. Somebody stood and prayed for it. They had to. You know, it just didn't happen. It didn't get you light one day and became a genius. God started moving on me supernaturally. And I believe because somebody was praying was supernatural. I don't think it was a bunch of natural praying. Somebody's praying supernatural. Somebody's praying for Ed in other tongues. Because God moved on me. He moved supernaturally. I mean, supernatural things started happening to get my attention. See, you're not going to pray for supernatural stuff if you don't believe in the supernatural stuff. If you don't believe in the thing, I don't even want you going to be praying for somebody. And you don't, especially don't pray and believe in praying in tongues, you're going to be praying out of your head. And if your doctrine is, you know, well, God, if you need to kill him, kill him. If you need to, you're going to be praying dumb stuff. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said to me this morning, and I was listening to Mike talking and thinking about what Mike had ministered last week, and the Lord said this to me down here. He said, the people are blessed. He said, you people here are blessed because of what you hear. You're blessed because of what you hear. See, what we hear, and I'm not telling you, if it ain't for the Holy Ghost, we could go up here and just give a nice talk. We could go there and do that. But what we hear. See, that's what brings the blessing. It's what's allowed to be spoken or allowed to be said. You're blessed because of what you get to hear. And the thing that you're blessed is because you do by choice to hear. You do by choice to hear. And you see, there's many people that are hearing things, but they don't. That's not their choice. They're just hearing it. You know, the parable, you know, if you look at the parable of the sower, there's ones that it wasn't by choice. They didn't, you know, they weren't into it at all, yet they heard it, and it produced nothing. When you make a choice to hear what the truth is, you're going to be doing something about it, and that's what produces. You're blessed because you desire to hear. See, there's churches, people are going to come into these churches and they're going to come in and they want to come in doing their spiritual little duty, you know, and let's get out of here and go home. We do our little, you know, sing a few songs, do a little 20-minute sermonette thing on that, saying you're all right when the devil owns you and you're okay anyhow. And everybody runs out the door and, yeah, we had a nice service today. It was really cute. But everybody goes home exactly like they left or worse off, living in sin, feeling like they're okay. And they're doing that. But to hear the truth will make you free in life. You know, it's one. I thank God for the truth that I've gotten to hear and the truth that has been spoken. But going down through all the years, when I started off, it seemed like a hard road. But I'll tell you, the payoff over the years. And now when I look back over 30 years of walking with the Lord, you know, coming down in here, starting, you know, the end, finishing off into this year, starting next year, starting my 37th year with the Lord of walking this thing. Man, I'm going to tell you what, this is the best walk I ever had in my life. First 30 years weren't worth nothing to what this one has been, to this walk's been. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful walk. And sure, it was hard in the starting off, and it was hard going some places and doing, but I want to tell you what, once you started learning the Holy Spirit, the great teacher started teaching you how to do things and walk in it. I want to tell you, the walking became easier and easier, and the more you saw how this thing worked, I mean, the more you wanted to get involved with it. You know, once you start eating the fruit of it, once you end up being one of those quarter of those people that eat the fruit, when you eat the fruit of it, it's like an addiction. You want to eat it again. So you go back and do what you did before, so you get to eat it again because you want to have that. Those first three groups of people, they never get to taste the fruit of it. And that's the whole thing. Until you taste the fruit of the life of walking by faith, you'll never appreciate it, and you'll let it go to do something natural. But once you taste, I'll tell you what, when Wanda and I, when that first time we believed God for money, and she's walking down the street, we believed God for $20 for a blind. We needed a blind on a window. And we needed $20 for it. And we agreed that we were going to get $20. And Wanda's walking down, what street? Was that 8th Street? She's walking down 8th Street in Lebanon, nobody around, and a $20 bill blows up to her feet. Well, I'm going to tell you, once we ate the fruit of that, that revolutionized our life. Most spirit-filled people are never sure whether God did something for them or not. They don't know. They believe things and, you know, hoping up, but basically trying to do things. Once I ate the fruit of that day, Wanda and I were changed people once we ate the fruit of it. And that's what you want. You want to come to the place where you get to eat the fruit of it, where the things that you're walking in the Spirit about, they start coming to pass. And I'll tell you, it became an addiction. I wanted it again. I wanted it again. I wanted it. And we started believing for things. We would believe for things even if we had the money to pay for it. We wouldn't go buy it. We would believe God for it. Because why? I wanted to see that happen again. I wanted to have that happen again to me. I wanted to see that come to pass. I wanted to see it take place. It doesn't matter if you use your money and buying things, but every once in a while, you get back over. Ain't nothing better than saying, man, I didn't do anything other than believe God. And he just brought it right to me. My words. He gets all the credit for it too. See, you give the credit to him. Hallelujah. And that's what you want to do, folks. I'll tell you, get over there in that addiction. See, I remember meeting Mike back in those days. He got that addiction. He saw God do some things and he got over there in it, and really was. We start seeing the fruit of these things. It was like an addiction. I want that again. I want that to happen. Let's have another one of those. And you'd go back after it again. To believe God, let your faith produce the fruit. Hallelujah. God, bring it to pass. Glory to God. Father, I just want to say thank you. Lord God, I believe totally these are hungry people.